Welcome to the Development Download with Leaps and Bounds.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Development Download. I'm Lisa, occupational therapist and co-owner of Leaps and Bounds Pediatric Therapy.
And I'm Erin, one of our feeding therapists here. We're so glad you're joining us today because we're talking about something that comes up for so many families. Feeding and the holidays.
Nice. Yes, it is upon us. The season of joy and casseroles and unsolicited comments about your child's plate.
Exactly. So today we're going to be giving parents some tools to help their kids and themselves feel more confident and less stressed around the holidays. I mean, Lisa, I can only imagine how parents are starting to feel a little worried as we're inching closer to the two big holidays.
Right. They're prepping for the dishes they're bringing and everything that's getting ready to happen.
I know. Yeah. My family's already been on a text thread of, okay, what are you bringing? And it keeps rolling in. And so, yeah, I'm there too.
Yeah, for sure. And holidays definitely disrupt routines. There are so many different meal times. You might be going to a variety of different holiday meal times, and there's new foods and new smells and crowds and lots of excitement. There's just so many sensory experiences that kids are having to negotiate.
And for picky eaters or kids with sensory or feeding challenges, those challenges can feel overwhelming. Even kids who do great at home sometimes struggle in new environments and all of that chaos.
For sure.
I almost picture the Home Alone scene where they're all getting ready to leave.
And he
like spills the soda on the tickets and it's just absolute chaos.
Right. So if your child eats nothing but rolls on Thanksgiving, you're not alone, and it's not a sign of failure.
Okay, Lisa, let's talk about preparation, because that's where parents can really set the stage for success. So I often think like, okay, start at the baseline, Lisa. Okay, is your child getting their basic needs even being met during the holidays? That means sleep. Are they getting enough food in between those meals that maybe they're not eating? You know, as a parent, you might feel like you're full, but then if we even look at their perspective of, oh, they only had a few bites of roll, well, then no wonder they might be hangry, you know?
Or is there a lot of drive time in between the places that you've got to go? Are they getting enough movement? Are they, you know, all of those things are it's a lot to consider.
Yeah, and I think even just thinking about it from that perspective can really start to set the stage of helping our kids feel successful.
Definitely.
And even for parents, right?
Right.
I'm sure if you already know you have a child that has picky eating, like you're as a parent probably already feeling that stress.
Sure. Yeah. Can be very anxious. So one of our favorite strategies is just really previewing the plan and going over expectations about what's going to happen at this upcoming, holiday experience that they're going to have. So let your child know, you know, what foods they can expect to be seeing. Are they sitting at the table with everybody else? Are they at a kid table? Where are they going to be eating? Who's going to be there? What their plate might look like? It isn't necessarily a time that you want to make them try all of the new foods, right? Because they're going to be stressed enough.
Yeah.
But you also may have those like looks from aunts or uncles or grandparents about why there are no green bean casseroles on your child's plate. And so just going over what the expectations are for that child can be really helpful and really helpful as a parent just to kind of set that up too.
Yeah, and I think that then makes the kid feel heard, right? Mm-hmm. Because nothing is worse as if you are going into a situation that you're already feeling anxious, and then all of a sudden somebody's throwing something at you, like, here, try these green beans. And it's like, I'm just trying to exist within this chaos. So I'm sure, setting up a plan, even showing pictures of what the food looks like or practice with a mini version of a holiday meal at home. I think that really is taking them out of that very stressful situation and allowing them to explore and try things without all of that stress.
Right.
Exposure without pressure helps so much.
For sure. And giving them a chance, like even inviting the child to help prepare some of the foods without the challenge of, or the expectation that they're going to try it, but just getting them involved to kind of decrease some of that negativity around the food. Another tip we love is to bring a safe food, something that your child feels comfortable eating, will reliably eat. Maybe it's crackers or yogurt or a specific brand of chicken, whatever works that that child can have a, to take a little pressure off of that child and on off of you.
And avoiding that hangry stage, right? Mm-hmm. Because that recovery is going to be a whole lot harder versus them being in a situation of overstimulation, just alone, let alone if you put hungry in there.
For sure.
I think even too, giving them those options to eat those foods, maybe when you're traveling. So if your child is maybe cognitively aware that this is going to be hard, they might not want to even bring those safe foods up. And so they might just not eat all day. So we're going to have to really think that through. And again, previewing the plan and really maybe offering those foods outside of those mealtimes so that way we don't hit that stage of hangry.
Definitely.
I even think too, even having a plan, if your child does become overstimulated, right? So is there a quiet place in grandma's house away from peering eyes, that that aunt that's always watching, you know? Is there a place that maybe they can go and just decompress? And maybe that is with a box of their preferred items. I always think of like this cute little Tupperware that you can bring in, but it, inside that has like the fidgets and just more sedentary play perspective.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about participation, because involvement builds confidence and curiosity. So the more that we can get kids involved in the process, the expectations, the prep of the food, the prep of getting ready for that day, the more we can set them up for success. I don't know if you guys are like me. One of the things, it wasn't always around food, but one of the things that was always really hard is the expectation was that they had to dress up for Thanksgiving nobody liked to do that. And so even just kind of like ahead of time talking about, I'm expecting khakis tomorrow. To kind of like, you know, ease that. So just getting them involved in that process.
Yeah. I think even too, like from the prep of the food. So could they be a part of washing the vegetables, stirring the batter, arranging rolls in a basket? I think that gives them some of that control because again, food being placed in front of them, they don't have that control. But if they are in charge of setting up the setup, like how they might feel more confident going into that situation for sure.
Definitely. Even if they never taste it during this process, but they're a part of it, they're building that familiarity around these sensory experiences. And that's a win. That's something that we always look at trying to do for feeding progress. It's for when we're working on feeding with kids, you know, obviously the end goal is that they're eating and they're trying some different things and they're adding variety to their diet. But it's a long process. And so we always want to celebrate those little wins that they touched the, you know, the food as it was going onto the plate, or that they were able to experience the smells without having a gag response.
Yeah. There's that theory out there that you have to try something 10 times in order for you to actually truly know if you like it or not.
Yes. So my kids, my feeding kids love when I say that.
But you know, that first time they experience, I mean, even with anything, right? If you're doing something for the first time, you know that you are at a heightened state. So you really aren't going to be able to truly process to its entirety to understand, do I like this or I don't like this? So I think even having that concept in is that if we're forcing food on a kid, you know that they're already at a heightened state. They're probably, don't be surprised when they say, ooh, I don't like it. and so for those kids who struggle with even smells, you can just even let them step away or even take sniff breaks. We want this to feel doable and not overwhelming. And again, it goes back to just taking those small little wins for sure.
Yeah. I was thinking as you were talking, even the, like my kids that have a real strong visual response to food, there's so many mixed texture foods that are provided at Thanksgiving time. I mean, the stuffing is just a really, there's a lot going on there. The like cranberries, whether you're doing like cooked cranberries or canned cranberries, all of that looks very different than maybe a typical meal that we might see. And so giving them that exposure so that they can visually kind of connect that in their brain, I think can be helpful too.
Because one stuffing might not look like the other stuffing, even just based on how it's being made. And so there's a lot of inconsistency when it comes to those holiday meals. Because if your aunt's making it versus when your grandma's making it, it could be, there could be a surprise thing in there.
And definitely.
So, I think even just having that opportunity to look through the food and to really maybe do that investigating can help our kid, because nothing would be worse is when a kid puts their food into their mouth and has that surprise, like celery taste, you know, like, oh my gosh. And then now you're leaning down towards the path of them spitting it out. And that's a real scene that you don't want.
Right. Okay. So during the meal, you know, everybody's seated at the holiday table. So let's talk a little bit about what we can do in that moment when we're in that at the table and everybody's sitting down to eat.
I think truly just, number one recommendation is take that pressure off. No, just one bite, no negotiating, no comparing plates. This is really the time to set them up for success. And not about trying those things, right?
Right, because, don't spring it on them.
Exactly. Yeah. Because again, you know that stuffing that maybe you've been trying might be different than what maybe how grandma made it.
Yeah, for sure. Something that we do a lot in therapy is that we have a learning plate or an exploration plate. And so sometimes that can be hard when we put all those things on one plate for a kid, a little bit of green bean casserole, a little bit of stuffing, you know, maybe even us as adults might not love all of that. The gravy seeping everywhere.
Oh my gosh, the missing, no, that's not for me, Lisa.
So it can be helpful to have an extra plate where the expectation is just that they're going to kind of explore it. If they don't feel comfortable with it on their plate, they can have it on a learning plate, and that they don't have to eat it, but they can if they like, or they can smell it, they can, you know, sniff it, any of those things, but that we're increasing the comfort with the food that's on their own plate.
Well, you're giving just a little piece of control back, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, these holidays, a lot of these kids feel like they are grasping at straws of any control, because they do have to wear the khakis. They have to allow grandma to give them the kiss, you know, or pinch their cheeks or whatever that might be. Or that aunt that loves those big, long hugs. You lose a lot of control.
Or the expectation they've got to say hi to everybody. Yes. And they're, you know, it is a lot.
I had a kid that mom expressed some worry because the family has a nickname that they call this child, and the child does not love this nickname. Oh. And so even just who's saying like things, and you do feel like you're losing control. And so I feel like feeding is the number one thing that kids can ultimately control. Mm-hmm. You cannot get them to eat it if they don't want it. So giving that little ounce of control, I think then you might actually see your kids explore those foods a little bit more. So you can also even set up a team plan with your partner ahead of time. Who's handling those siblings? Who's giving the child space if they need break? It keeps everyone calm. And I really think the more we can give your child and your family these positive experiences, the more positive memories are going to come from them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so this is a hard part, but handling comments from family and what is family thinking about this approach? Because this approach might be different than they're used to or different than maybe you experienced as a child. I mean, I definitely came from a you better clean your plate before you get up from the table kind of situation. So, you know, this is hard. And even though relatives might mean well, it can feel like judgment, or it can feel like some sort of failure on you as a parent or your child. And so, you know, having a plan with how you're going to handle those comments might be really helpful.
Oh yes, Lisa. The classic, when I was a child, you ate what was served.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So if you come up with you could either talk to people ahead of time and just kind of let them know what you're going to do in terms of expectations for your child, but also have a script. So it could be something like, we're working on feeding with our therapist. We have a plan that's really helping and we're going to stick with it today. Just like really kind of, you know, short and not, don't have to give too much information.
And then change the subject.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for so sure. Aunt Carol, how's the new puppy?
Right. Move it along.
Yep.
Definitely. So thinking through how you're going to handle that ahead of time so you're not trying to do that in the moment when things are stressful can be helpful. And then also you want to just celebrate those wins. We tell families all the time, progress during the holidays may look really tiny, but tiny counts. And so thinking about, hey, you did it. You made it through that meal. Right, maybe we only ate the things that you were comfortable with, but the fact that you did that in a different environment with a lot of people around and all those smells and all those sounds and all those, you know, textures, that's a win. Yeah. And we should celebrate that.
Yeah. And so I think that's super important for us to just, again, like, did you take that, try that small little bite, and what did you think of it? And you're going to have a better conversation with your child versus, hey, you need to eat this. Then it turns into a fight and a war around all your family members, and nobody wants that, and nobody's going to have positive experiences. And I think the more we can have those positive experiences, and that builds that positive memory, which then next holiday you can layer onto that versus starting from scratch again. I mean, I've been around, even just like walking around, shopping and things like that. Parents, like they're on already a, what would you call it? Just, they're already on a ledge, right? Because they're thinking about all the things that they have to get done. And so for us to just step back and to be like, okay, this, we can really start to build on these positive experiences versus everybody standing on an edge of like, ooh, it's going to break, or walking on those eggshells, really.
Yeah, for sure. I thought of something as you were talking. So another thing that I think is really important to think about is the language that we're using around foods and around the holidays. And so, you know, people will say, oh, this tastes yummy, or this tastes, I don't like the way that tastes. That's gross or yucky. And so really thinking about using just descriptive words about the food. So things like, this is really smooth, or this has a big flavor, or this is crunchy, or this is cold or hot. Those type of things can help kids have a better understanding of each of the food, as opposed to yummy, yucky, I don't like it, it's good, because everybody's going to have a different experience with all of those characteristics.
I love it.
All right.
Yes. So as we head into the holiday season, remember you're not alone and you're not doing anything wrong. And your child's relationship with food is a long game.
For sure. So take the pressure off yourself too. Holidays should be about enjoying time together, not battling the green bean casserole.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
We'll see you on the next episode of the Development Download. Have a joyful and low pressure holiday season.
You've been listening to the Development Download with Leaps and Bounds.